Well, good morning, everybody. As we get in the Word of God today, let's start off the introductory verse of Galatians 1, 15 and 16. Galatians 1, 15 and 16. Title of today's message is, Am I Strong and of a Good Courage? It's going to be found in Joshua. Before we get to Joshua, let's go to Galatians 1, 15 and 16. I just got to get through. Galatians 1, 15 and 16, this says, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. This verse is, Paul's talking about it. You see, kind of see three things there, what happened to Paul. One is, he was born, separated from his mother's womb. He was born into this world. Were you and I born in this world? Yeah, we were. Okay, we have a likeness there. Second thing, it says, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. Those that have accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior. Paul did here. And if we're here today and you accept the Lord, that's us too. Revealed. Says, call me by his grace, reveal his Son to me. If you accept the Lord, that's you too. So there's two things alike, just like Paul. Then the third thing is that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I convert not with flesh and blood. So Paul was born, he was saved, he was called to preach among the heathen. And then he looked at the last part of that. He said he didn't, that's a major thing that God's asked him to do. He didn't confer with flesh and blood, starting off with his own flesh and blood, you know, called to preach. And if I remember hearing around here this year, we talked about that a little bit this year here, right? We're all called to preach, called to speak the truth of the word, you know. So here's the Apostle Paul talking about himself here, three things. He was born, he was saved, he's called to preach. I think we had to put the same three things going on in our life, don't we? So that's the indication of where we're going to go with this message and seeing that, hey, here's the Apostle Paul. Now let's go back to see Joshua, what Joshua did. Turn to our message. We're going to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And a little context about Joshua. Remember, he was right. He took over the reins from Moses. Moses was the man of God, right? All the word, you know, the law, the five books of the law written by Moses, he wrote them, and then here's taken over from Moses. Moses passing off the scene because of, you know, he was not allowed to see the promised land. Here's Joshua taking the reins over from Moses to take his nation of Israel, his family, into the promised land. What a mighty undertaking that would be. An understanding like, hey, I'm taking over from Moses. Am I ready for this? Joshua, at the very end of, instead of Joshua, very end of Deuteronomy, just off the top of the page, Deuteronomy 34, it says, verse 9, it says, And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So, but Joshua, get ready to take children of Israel in the promised land. Look what it says about him. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses gave him the power, laid the hands on him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and he did as the Lord commanded. Just as the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua was going to follow what Moses had commanded to go into this promised land. So there he is. That's kind of the context. They'd been wandering 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. And Joshua was fighter. He had strength and courage from God. He was full of the spirit of wisdom. So let's start reading in verse 5 of chapter 1, book of Joshua. It says, There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all thy law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. So, that's the passage there. And we see from verse 5, we see that Joshua comes along and here, and this is the Lord God talking to Joshua in verse 5. It says, not any man stand before thee all the days of life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here we come. God, the Lord God is telling Joshua, hey, you're going to be my messenger. I'm with you. I'm not going to fail you, forsake you. Is God calling us to be a messenger, just like he called Paul? Think about this. Joshua is a picture and a type of Christ. Paul was a picture and a type of Christ. Are we supposed to be a picture and a type of Christ? So, this story we're going to look at in Joshua today, we see that, hey, cool story, a lot of strength, a lot of courage. Read through this passage, mentioned several times, strength and courage. Be strong and have a good courage. We need to put ourselves in the shoes of Joshua and say, hey, can I make this apply to me? And that's what I want to try to do as we tell this story today of Joshua. So, let's pray again. Lord, just thank you for this time, this word, this passage, this story, Lord, from so long ago, that we see the strength and the courage of Joshua as God gives it to him, Lord. Help us to see ourselves in his shoes. Help us to see what we need to be doing today and understand it, Lord, as we go forward for you in this battle called life, Lord, as we go forward for you to try to bring you the glory. We just want to thank you and praise you in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we already looked at that first verse from Paul. We line up the three things he has. If you're saved, you line up with that. Born, saved, now I got to preach. Here is Joshua. He was born. Here is leading. At this time, he's leading the whole nation of Israel. He was the messenger of God. What does all this have to do with me? Let's see if we can figure this out from the Word of God, from what Paul has told us from the Gospel of Grace and his writings. Let's see 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Am I strong and of a good courage? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. This is a command straight from Paul to Corinthians, therefore it's to us. It said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Be followers of me as I also am of Christ. Hey, you know what the battle is? You know what the biggest part of it? There's a spiritual battle going on today. Most Christians don't even know. All you have to do is open your eyes and see that this is a battle going on. This is good versus evil. This is God versus Satan. And our whole world is set that's going on around here. Where do I fall in this? Well, if you're saved, we're commanded to be followers of Paul. Do as he did. You're in the army of God, as Paul tells us. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2 to see that. You joined the army. The day you got saved, you joined the army. Most people don't realize that or understand it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Am I strong and of a good courage? It's like Joshua. Here's Paul telling us, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, the word of God that you know, be able to teach it to others. In verse 3, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, you became a soldier of God. Soldier is not for the faint of heart. It requires strength. It requires courage, just like Joshua had, just like Paul had. Think of our vision verse this year. Hey, preach the word. Does that mean getting up here behind this pulpit and do that? That's not necessarily what it means. Believe me, this is not the easiest thing to do, to get up here. And then you don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. We need to thank Charles every time he gets up here. This is not the easiest thing. So, trying to tell a story, make this all tied together. Preaching the word means what? Not necessarily behind the pulpit. It means, hey, speak the truth. What you do know is truth. Live it in your life and speak it. Let's just revisit our vision verse this year. This is Paul commanding us. Remember, we're a soldier. Here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We've all been called to preach. Speak the truth of the word. That requires some strength and courage, and a good courage to be able to do that, doesn't it? Where does this strength and courage come from? Remember Paul said, Galatians 1, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. I ain't getting the strength from my own flesh and blood, I tell you, to get up here and speak. As we deal with people face to face, the strength to talk about the word of God and the courage doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Because why? We have this thing called the Holy Spirit inside of us. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3:16 says that Paul writing to the Ephesians here, he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. There's where that strength and courage come from. By the Holy Spirit. Strengthens us in the inner man. Now that is good to know. Good to understand. Okay, God is inside me. He's with me in this. And dealing with this. This crazy world and spiritual battle we're in. Looking at this point, this first point is that, am I strong and of a good courage as a messenger? You know, as a messenger. Back to the point of, hey, do I realize I'm in the army? I'm called to be a soldier. I'm called to preach the word. I'm supposed to speak the truth. What's Ephesians 4 chapter 1 tell us right here down from that verse? Ephesians 4 says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're called in this vocation of being a soldier for Christ, of speaking His truth, of preaching His word. And this chapter 4 here is in the context of the local body. We read a couple more verses here. And see this in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Why we speak the truth. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That is not the job of the pastor only. That's the job of the body, every member of the body. Speaking the truth in love. Hey, preach the word. Am I strong and of a good courage when I do that? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And wrap this point up, verse 29, the same chapter. Look at this. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearing, unto the hearers. So, hey, if we've got a mouth and tongue, we're speaking. Let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, to build up the folks in the body, to build up the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a good witness for Him, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So that grace that saves us, we want to try to translate and give that to others. They understand the grace of the Lord Jesus, what He can do for us, all of us. That's a cool thing. The strength comes from God. Do I have that strength and courage to speak the truth? Because we are speaking. We all have a tongue. We're speaking. What are we speaking? Are we preaching the truth? Or are we preaching our flesh, the world, or whatever? We think about it. Strength and courage as a messenger. Who was your messenger? Charles talked about it a lot. He had a guy at Boy Scout camp that told him about the gospel, about Jesus. He got saved from that guy, his messenger, his personal messenger. Every one of us had a messenger that told us about the Lord one way or another, didn't they? And think about it. Where did that start at? We see the strength and courage started from God way back there. Moses, Joshua. Go on to Paul. He's preaching it. Paul in the gospel of grace. Preaching what we know today to be saved and to please the Lord with his doctrine that God gave him. Started way back then. 2,000 approximate years ago. And here we are today. Someone brought you the message. Now, you have to ask yourself, am I bringing a good messenger? What am I bringing? What am I preaching? That's the way God wants it. That's the way it's laid out. Let's turn back to the passage in Joshua. Go to the second point. Am I strong and have a good courage with the message? What was the message in verse 6? Be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Think about the context of Joshua, what he's going through. Hey, they're on this side of the River Jordan. Now they got to cross over the promised land. But guess what? It is land of milk and honey over there, but there's folks over there that don't want to give up the milk and honey. It's not going to be an easy deal, but God's on their side and they know it. The battle is coming. They go over there. You better have some strength and courage to do what? God gave them the land. They're going to have to boot the inhabitants out of there. A lot of times by death, force. That inheritance. Now, how does that apply to us? We don't have a promised land we're going to physically, but spiritually we do. We have an inheritance spiritually to deal with. And that's where it requires some strength and courage, because back to the point of, hey, I'm a messenger. What message am I bringing? I'm bringing a message of inheritance. I'm bringing a message of inheritance. Well, now, boy, why would that require strength and courage? Has anybody tried to talk to an unsaved person in this world? Anybody in this world that's unsaved about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved? Today's time is not easy, is it? Especially if you get online, they'll really break you. But now get face to face with somebody, tell them about the Lord. We have to be ready. Have the strength and courage to speak the truth, because it's still the truth, you know. So what's some of the excuses, you know, you hear from the world and you're bringing this message of gospel of Christ and how to be saved? It's like, oh, I can't believe you would still believe that in the Bible. That's just a book written by man. It's not even true, you know. That's the problem right there. Right there is the problem with everything. The Bible's been thrown out. The Bible's not considered true. That's where we have to know, have the strength and courage that the Bible is true. And this is what I'm basing everything I do on as a believer in Christ. So, strength and courage to deliver that message of inheritance. And what is that message of inheritance? Let's look at the first. There's actually two inheritances. We're going to look at the first one that we need to talk about. That strength and courage, and that's Ephesians 1. It's found in Ephesians 1, starting at verse 11. So Joshua's going to have to divide the inheritance, give it to his people. Imagine that undertaking, that was taken. Here's our job, spiritually speaking. and an inheritance. In verse 11, Ephesians 1, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There it is. The inheritance, the first one there, let's continue 14, which is the earnest of our hearts to the redemption of the purchased flesh unto the praise of his glory. The first inheritance is our inheritance, the Lord's inheritance. And what did you do to get it? Verse 11 tells us that you heard the word of truth, i.e. somebody was speaking, a messenger was speaking the word of truth to you. It's like we're supposed to be doing. In whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So, accept the Lord Jesus, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we have, verse 14, our inheritance. That message, am I strong and of good courage in delivering the message of our inheritance? Key thing, the world, everyone in the world, God would call everyone, whosoever will, come to the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's our job to speak the truth, speak the message, bring the message with strength and courage. Romans 10:9 tells us what? That if thou shalt profess thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is the message of salvation in Romans 10:9. Let's look at turn to Ephesians 2:8-9, right here, close. That inheritance, that our inheritance says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This message of our inheritance is right there. It's by grace alone, through faith alone. Who is ashamed to talk about it? Basically everybody today's time is like, oh, you can't talk about God. We don't allow it in the school. We don't allow it in the workplace. You can't do that. Huh. The Word of God says we're supposed to. So, we have an internal battle within us, right? This whole message, this whole story is a battle. The spiritual battle is basically within us. Do I want to accept and have the strength and courage to speak the truth, to do the truth? So, do I have the strength and courage with the message I'm bringing? Because guess what? We are bringing a message. We're speaking something, right? We're always speaking something. Let's speak the truth. Let's speak about God and the Lord, what he did for us. Now, this is where we go into the second thing here. Dividing. Joshua had a divided inheritance. We got two inheritances we need to be talking about. We have our inheritance, which you accept the Lord. And verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, kind of indicates and goes toward the second inheritance. And we're going to elaborate that on that quite a bit here. Verse 10, Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Yes, salvation is grace alone, faith alone. Accepting the Lord Jesus, mouth confession, heart belief. Romans 10:9. It is that. That's our inheritance. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained we should walk in. Hey, once we get saved, we need to be walking in good works. Understand that. We need to be doing something. We need to be a servant of God. A servant of God. We stopped reading Ephesians 1, chapter verse 14, let's continue on reading. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Okay. Our inheritance, verse 14, is a promise. It is guaranteed. You are saved, you are sealed. The Holy Spirit, as it says in verse 13, but here, verse 16, Paul starts to pray about something. Cease to make mention of you in my prayers. And what's he praying about? I mean, it's conditional, not guaranteed. It says, and 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See the word may give, and see the word his inheritance in verse 18. May is not a guarantee, and his inheritance is not the same as our inheritance in verse 14. Two inheritances. Hey, that's another message I need to be bringing with strength and courage. Well, who needs to hear that message? Not the unsaved. They need to hear the first one about being saved. Who needs to hear the second message, the second inheritance? It's believers in Christ. Believers in Christ. You think you need any strength and courage to bring that message to believers in Christ? I think you need more courage than to talk to unsaved. Because what happens in that? When you start talking to believers in Christ, say, hey, there is a second inheritance here, that if we do not perform verse 10 of Ephesians 2, the good works that God has ordained that we walk in, we're going to miss out on his inheritance. What will they call you? They'll say, like, I've never heard that before. That can't be true. What are you going to say back? Or, you must be in a cult. I've never heard that. What are you going to say back? We need to be prepared. We need to have strength and courage to know the truth of what God has laid out here. The question becomes, for each of us individually and to those we're talking to, is the Word of God the final authority? Is the Word of God your final authority? I'm not making this up. These are the words of God. If the Word of God is your final authority, then you have strength and courage. You should have the strength and courage to carry on no matter who rejects what you're saying. Now, think about that in spiritually. Speaking. There's Joshua trying to go into the promised land, got to wax the people, knock them off, get the inheritance distributed to all his people. Here we are, spiritually, he's like, okay, I need to speak truth to my friends, my loved ones, other believers in Christ, something they've never heard before. Huh. About the same spiritually, isn't it? It's tough. Do we have the strength and courage to do that? So, let's continue on looking at this second inheritance, this his inheritance thing. Remember, it is conditional. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. Here's some of this. We can give you some, get some strength and courage from the Word of God and knowing that what we're saying is true, what the Word says is true. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. Start in verse 13, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Right there is salvation. You accept the Lord as Savior, he's chosen us to sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. In verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get saved and are called to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to his inheritance. Let's turn to the next one, 2 Timothy 2. And this breakdown and this verification of the second inheritance that we're talking about. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See the word may also obtain salvation with eternal glory. And verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Hey, do you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You have the Holy Spirit sealed. You're going to live with him for all eternity. It's a guaranteed deal. Now, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. There's that word if. in the context of suffering, if we suffer, we shall also reign. And then if we deny him, he also deny us. In the context of reigning, we will be denied if we don't suffer. Then verse 13 wraps it up, back to the point of, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. If you stop believing the Lord, the word and everything, become an about atheist. But if you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit is sealed. You're still, if you stop believing, he's not going to deny himself. You're still saved. Guaranteed, our inheritance. Not guaranteed, his inheritance, the reigning part of it, reigning with Christ. Now, on the subject of reigning, tied together with Romans 8. Romans 8. Remember, it takes some strength and courage to understand and know this, to be able to deal with those that we're speaking truth to. Back to preaching the truth, right? Speaking the truth. Here it is. Romans 8, 15. Starting in 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have been adopted by the Lord. 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Guaranteed, we are the children of God. Now verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And, a second thing here, joint heirs with Christ. What's the next word? The second thing, joint heirs. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What did we just read in 2 Timothy? Chapter 2, if we suffer, we shall reign. Here it is. That we suffer and that we may be also glorified together. What's our salvation with eternal glory? There it is, lines up. Be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's quite a few more passages too. That's some of the meat and potatoes of that second inheritance, that his inheritance that is not guaranteed, that message that we need to be bringing to believers in Christ. Well, you might hear, like, I can't believe you'd even talk to another person in another church or whatever. Like, if they don't have the truth, we need to be speaking the truth. It's our job to speak truth, right? Here it is from the Word of God. Do you have the strength and courage to do it? And dividing up the inheritance, just like Joshua did. Here's the inheritance. Need to be saved? We need to seek to obtain the glory of his inheritance. To rule and reign with Christ for all of eternity. Major deal. From the Word of God. And it's oftentimes left out, overlooked, kicked to the curb, not even thought about. It's on us to bring it, to preach it, to speak that truth. Because why? Remember back to Ephesians 2:10? We are his work. We're created unto good works. We're created to walk in him. We're created to do that. We need to be serving him. We come with a message of this inheritance stuff. It's not easy sometimes. We need to be living in our own life. We need to be understanding it better, trying to be our conversation, our how we live, what we speak, trying to do what's right, to serve him to the best of our ability because we're called to. Because in the end, we get to be judged by that service. God will judge us by the service from the Word of God that we give him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and do a quick overview of that. 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, hey, you get saved, accept the Lord, He is your foundation, He is your rock. It is a guarantee. Our inheritance is guaranteed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the deal? Verse 10 says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay, we got the foundation of the rock, Jesus Christ. How are we building on it? What service are we doing? What words are we speaking? How are we living our life? Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And you boil it all down, we're building one of those six things in our life. We're either building gold, silver, precious stones, or we're building wood, hay, and stubble based on the flesh, the world, the gold, silver, precious stones, based on the word of God and following God and being a good servant of God. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It doesn't say there every man's salvation. It's every man's work getting judged. So our salvation is not getting judged, because it's our inheritance. It's a guaranteed deal. But our works are going to get judged. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If your work abides, that you build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What did we talk about? About suffering and reigning? If you suffer, you will reign. Here's the tie-in point. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You come down to the point, what are you losing? Not your salvation. You're losing that opportunity to reign with Christ. It comes down to the point of, do I suffer now for the Lord and receive reward? Or do I suffer later and suffer loss at judgment seat of Christ? Need to think about that. Need to have the strength and the courage as we're bringing the message that God has us to bring, straight from the Word of God. What are we afraid of? Ourselves, our flesh, what people might say about us? Don't be. God gives us the strength and courage to talk about it. Okay, let's go back to Joshua, third point. We'll start in verse 7. Am I strong and of a good courage in my methods here? Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I thought it was pretty cool. Charles reads Proverbs 4, and we've seen the same terminology. Turn not to the right or to the left. At the end of the chapter in Proverbs 4 there. Hey, what's that mean to us today? It's like, you know, if you accept the Lord, you know He's, you accept Him, you know He did it. He's in you. Holy Spirit's in us. That means the Word of God that I know to be true, whatever that is, could be this much, it could be a little more, could be quite a bit more. Whatever it is I know to be true, do it. Don't stray from it. I just went over two inheritances. There are two inheritances that Paul lays out in the Gospel of Grace. That is true. Now hopefully you know it a little bit. You can study it for yourself later on more and understand it more and be able to give that out. That's true. It's from the Word of God. Let's look at an example of what the Lord said about this. Basically, stay on the narrow and straight way. So we need to, from this point in Joshua, in verse 7, we need to observe to do what Moses had given the law. Observe to do it, and don't stray. So what the Word is given to us from the Gospel of Grace and Paul's writing, let's observe to do it, and don't stray. Let's see what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. What did Jesus tell the folks here? And this he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Good picture of the world there, isn't it? Hey, making fun of us for believing the Word of God, coming to church, you know, having fellowship. The world just, what's the world say? Hey, it's your truth. Hey, whatever you think's true, whatever, that's good, you know. Every man does what's right in their own eyes, just like the book of Judges. Wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That is a cool precept from Jesus Christ. He laid it out here, like, hey, focus on me and don't stray from it, because I got a narrow way. It's called the Word of God. It's called the truth that I've laid out. Search for it and find it. Let's turn to what Paul says about it. Second Thessalonians. Paul, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, as we know from Romans 11 and other places. 2 Thessalonians. And 15. He mentioned the word tradition. This is a good context of tradition. It says 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "Therefore, brother, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." The words that we have spoken, this is Paul talking here, that we have spoken or written to you, hold the traditions. Stand fast. Stand fast. That sounds like strength and good courage, doesn't it? What Paul has written, stand fast and hold those traditions that we have spoken to you or we've written to you. The Word of God. He also says it in 2 Thessalonians 3:4. Look what he says right here. "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." Whoa, I thought we were in the gospel of grace. I thought we just could do whatever we want. Not a problem. No. There is a problem if you want to get and be a part of His inheritance and ruling and reigning. We need to do what Paul has commanded us to do. And the final point on let's look at 2 Timothy 1:13. One more time he talks about what he says here. 2 Timothy 1:13. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Hold fast. Hold fast with strength and courage. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Paul talking straight to Timothy. What was Joshua's point? What the Lord's point to Joshua there in verse 7? It says, "Observe to do and don't stray." For us, observe to do what Paul has commanded us and don't stray. Let's go back to Joshua, verse 8. We see more. "Do I have the strength and courage in my methods?" Verse 8, it says, Joshua 1:8, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Slight difference here in this. First point was, what you know, do it. Don't stray. This one is, hey, meditate day and night, and then do it. Because you just don't get the Word of God and get understanding from God by osmosis, by sitting in the pew and never opening your Word of God, never opening your Bible. We've got to meditate on it. We've got to think about it and then do it. Observe to do it. Meditate on it. Observe to do it. Now, why would this be like this in the Word of God, you think? Meditating implies thinking, right? And that implies we got to have our mind in this game. Guess what? The mind is where the battleground's at. The mind is where the battles are won and lost. We know from anything, if you've ever been in sports, even anything sports related, anything team related, whatever, if you think you can't do it, it ain't going to happen. You got to think about the correct way of doing it. You got to think about what you've been taught and trained from your teacher or coach, from your sensei in karate. What have you been trained to do it right? From the Word of God, you have to understand that. Approach it with, I need to know more. I need to understand more. I need to meditate on it day and night. I was taught one. My parents taught me a lot of valuable lessons. I'm going to talk about one that my mom taught me. She always said, hey, can't do anything. You know, can't do anything. It was usually in the context of a tough problem in school, I think, or other stuff, whatever. And that taught me, just like, you know, I still remember that. Can't do anything. Don't have that mindset of you can't do it. Because God, with God, you can. Because He gives you the strength and courage. The battleground is the mind. Let's overcome that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and see this point a little more clearly. Starting in verse 3. For 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Meditate day and night. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Cast down that imagination that doesn't allow me to do what God would have me to do. You know? It's like, what do you mean, preach the word? That just means speak the truth. Oh, Satan will come along, your flesh come along. Oh, I can't do that. That scared me. They might say bad things, this and that. Like, bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. He wants us to speak the truth. He's got our back. The battleground is our mind. And we've heard this in the past, I'll talk about it again. Why is that, the mind, the battleground? Because thoughts lead to attitudes, lead to actions. So if we've got negative thoughts, it's negative thoughts, negative attitude, negative actions. If you've got godly thoughts, it's godly thoughts, godly attitude, godly action from the Word of God. See? The mind is the battleground. Meditate day and night in the Word. Get into the Word. Understand it. You know, that doesn't mean you got your book open in front of you all the time. That means, hey, I remember hearing or reading this and thinking about what God has spoke to you through His Word from preaching, or what you might have heard or seen from fellow believers. Like, yeah, I remember that. It just sits there in your mind and just kind of stews around. Like, yeah, I got that. You know, the big thing in this battle of understanding the Word of God and the doctrine that's given to us is just believing it, understanding it. You got to make it your own. We sit here and we talk about it until you make it your own, until you're fully persuaded. It's just that. It's just words. It's not yours. Be fully persuaded in understanding the Word of God by meditating. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. See what Paul says about this on this thinking deal. Starting in verse 8, Philippians 4. He says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate day and night. Think on these things. Meditate on them. Think on them. all these things, these words, are characteristics of everything from the Word of God. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, any virtue, any praise. Think on them. That's the Word of God. Then, verse 9, to the point of what God told Joshua here. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these things. Observe to do them. The things that Paul's laid out for us, do them. Not real complicated, is it? But it takes courage and it takes strength to carry on, because we're not mind-numb robots, are we? We get a choice from God. We get a choice to what we think about, to what we do. Interesting thing from Joshua, at verse 8 there, it's the only time in the Bible that the word success is mentioned in the whole Word of God, right there. And it amounts to thinking on the Word of God and doing it. Is there a precept there we can learn from that? Success. Thinking on the Word of God and doing it. Back to the point of, for doing that, at judgment seat, we can receive that reward of reigning with Christ. Think on the Word and do it. Okay, let's wrap this up at the final point, back to Joshua. Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. Am I strong and of a good courage because of my mindset? I know why. Let's see why here. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Here's God reminding Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong, good courage. I already told you in verse 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He's telling us the same thing. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and good courage. What's there to be afraid of? If God be for us, who could be against us? What's there to be afraid of? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Do you know that? Understand that God is with you. He's on your side. There's nothing to be afraid of. We have to have that inclined heart that I talked about in the past. Inclined heart to follow Him always. To just do it, because God is with me. I'm going to follow God to the end. You have to make that your choice. Does everybody here know that God is with you? If you're saved, God is with you. Maybe if you haven't, might listen to this later, let's turn to the passage that tells us God is with us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6. What do you mean, God is with me? Here he is. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. Holy Spirit is sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. He's with us. And this same Spirit that is with us always gives us that power, that the strength and courage and the power to deal with everything that comes our way. 2 Timothy 1, turn to that, 2 Timothy 1. We have not been given the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Be not afraid. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That is a cool thing to understand, that Holy Spirit's inside of us. He's in you. And He didn't give us the spirit of fear. Am I strong? Am I good courage? What I'm doing here? Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be afraid of what the Lord did. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Paul and what he did and what he's laid out for us as the apostle of the Gentiles. Don't be afraid of that. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. If you suffer, you will reign. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Kind of go hand in hand, doesn't it? Verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling? Saved us with our inheritance and called us with that holy calling of his inheritance to rule and reign. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Do we have, am I strong and of a good courage because of my mindset? Because I know God is with me. Let's wrap it up with Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What's your mindset? Paul's commanded us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Holy Spirit inside us, he did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then our command here, put on the whole armor of God. Hey, back to that battle, isn't it? Spiritual battle that we face each and every day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against whatever this world, this devil, and our flesh brings us. Stand against that. Because of my mindset and knowing where the strength and power comes from, I can have that strength and have a good courage. It is time to be strong and good courage. The mission is laid out before us as Joshua is crossing that promised land. He knows he's a messenger. Do we know we're a messenger? He knows the message of inheritance that he has to bring. Do we know it? Do we know the two inheritances we need to talk about and that message we need to bring with strength and courage? And our message, observing the Word of God, not straying, meditating, thinking on the Word of God, and doing it according to what Paul's laid out with strength and courage, because of my mindset. I know where the power comes from. It's not from me. It's not from flesh and blood. Paul didn't confer with flesh and blood. We shouldn't either. We confer with God and understand that the power comes from God. He provides the strength to get us through it. And in the end, it'll all be good. No matter what happens to our flesh, it'll all be good. If you suffer, you will reign. It's time for us as soldiers of Christ to gear up and get with it. Have strength and courage to follow what God has laid out for us. Lord, we just thank you for this day and this word and this message that we see from Joshua. Lord, how it applies to us today. Lord, help us to just receive this message and this truth of your word and go forth with strength and courage as you would have to do as you're in us. And we just thank you and praise you, and we want it one day. Be with glory. Be with you in glory. Receive the glory you have for us, Lord. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.